Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in Lenox, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of a Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Welcome to another edition of Eternal Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. Listeners, we want to begin on today's program by thanking you for being with us on the program and letting you know how appreciative we are for that and how encouraging it is for us to know that there are people like you that have a disposition of heart that are interested in spiritual things and are willing to study from the Bible. We have a guest with us on today's program, and really I shouldn't say that he's a guest. He's been on the program with us before. Ray Hayes is with us today, and Ray serves as one of the deacons for the Mill Street Church of Christ. Ray, it's good to have you on the program today.
It's good to be here again.
Listener, we want to encourage you to follow along with us and ensure that what you're hearing on the program is in harmony with the Bible, and we certainly don't want to say anything that would be contrary to what the Bible says, so we encourage you to follow along with us and take any notes that you'd like to take that you can study these things further. Again, if you'd like to have a free copy of the program on CD or a correspondence course through the mail, or if you need a Bible, all of those things can be sent to you at absolutely no cost to you. If you'd like to study with us, we'd be more than willing to meet with you and sit down with an open heart and an open Bible and investigate the Word of God together. So we're here to assist you in whatever way that we can in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. Again, our contact information is 234-5055, or you can give us a call at 878-6108. Well, last week, if you were able to be with us, you'll remember that we began a series of lessons titled Teach My People the Difference, and this is taken from a passage from the book of Ezekiel chapter 44 and in verse number 23, when the Bible says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." And so we began a series of lessons as we began thinking about the importance of being taught. You know, the Lord pointed that out in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, the importance of being taught about Him. And so we began to look at some various things in which it is important for us to know the difference between. And a lot of the confusion, Ray, in today's religious world is because of an absence of people being taught the difference between specific things. So last week we looked at the difference between good and bad, and the difference between sound doctrine and false doctrine, and the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But Ray, there's a number of other things that we could look at that it's important for us to know the difference between. What would be another one of those issues?
One of the things that we can look at is the service that or the way that we live our lives. If you look, turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, God in His Word tells us what that difference is. He says in verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." God tells us here that it is important how we live our lives. There are many that say it really doesn't matter what we do, that we just have to trust that God's blood is able to cleanse us of our sins and we can live basically in any way that we want. God tells us here, while we affirm that God's blood is what cleanses us of our sins, God tells us that we've been cleansed for a reason, that we can worship Him acceptably. And the way that we go about doing this, in large part, is how we live our lives. And if we look at what he says here, he says there's two ways. One is living is a spiritual service of worship, which is sacrificing ourselves. And then the other way of living is a profane type of living, one that lacks a relationship with God or being conformed to the world. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 23, he talks again about the idea of being renewed in our mind. And I'll start in verse 20. He says, "But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as the truth is in Christ, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which has been corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." Now, what he tells us is when we learned Christ, when we heard the gospel preached, that we are to put away what we used to be. In other words, when we were conformed to the world, that we've been renewed and we put on the new self, which is like God. And when we think of who God is and how He conducts Himself, we know that God is perfectly holy. And because of that, if we're to be like God, then we have to be holy. In other words, created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So our lives have to be conformed to the Word of God. If you look in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." So, when we were baptized and we were raised up to walk in newness of life, I don't live a life of sin that I used to live. Now I live by faith in the Son of God. I trust in His Word. I trust that He has told me the right things to do, and I choose to obey those things. That is how we are to be. That is the renewing of the mind, being conformed to God rather than being conformed to this world. And if we look, just to kind of close this thought out, if you look in Galatians chapter 5, he shows us the difference between, again, the holy versus the profane here. If you look in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 19, it says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, in other words, this is the profane way of living. And what we're told here in Galatians is those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can't claim to be a Christian and continue to live like this and think that we're going to mock God and be in heaven living like this. God, what He has told us instead, the way we are to live our life is such. In verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Those of us that are Christians, if we claim that we're Christians, these are the things that you'll see in our life, these fruits of the Spirit that we just read off. And if we claim that we're a Christian and live according to the deeds of the flesh, then we are basically not being truthful with anybody else or even ourselves. So these are the things, as was talked about in Ezekiel, the teaching the difference between holy and profane. Our service to God, well, the way we live our lives is either a holy life or a profane life. It's one of two things, and these are the things that, that have been highlighted in these scriptures that God has given us.
Ray, it's interesting to me as well, back in Romans 12 and verse 1, as you was reading verses 1 and 2, I thought about the fact that, that Paul, even though he's writing to the Christians at Rome, and he tells them to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, that this is something that we can't do for someone else, that it's an individual choice, it's an individual matter and affair, that I have to make the choice for myself that I'm going to do this. You know, there's a lot of things that, that of course, we can help individuals with, but when it comes to serving God and presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, I have to do that on my own life. James chapter 1 and verse 27 talks about the latter part of that when he says in that verse that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the ways of the world, to abstain from all appearance of evil, Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22. And so it's really individual matter that we have to make sure that as we each walk through this life, that we're conducting ourselves in a way that would be pleasing to God and encouraging one another to do the same. Very, very good points as we think about the difference, teaching one another and learning the difference between what is holy and profane. There's another area in which we need to be taught the difference between listener, and that is the difference between acceptable worship and vain worship. Ray, we live in a time when the thinking of many people is that there simply is no vain worship, that truth is not absolute, that it's really left up to the individual to determine what is right and what is wrong. But does the Bible say anything at all about vain worship as opposed to acceptable worship?
Oh, yes. I mean, he spends a lot of time that when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he says in vain do they worship me, teaching traditions and those types of things, is rather than teaching what God had taught. In other words, they used their traditions and tried to bind those on the people rather than what God had bound on people in His Word.
That's right. And listen, you know, in the Bible there are different types of worship. In the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, we read in that verse where Paul talks about will worship. Ray alluded to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9 when the Lord talked about vain worship in that passage. They were worshiping God, there's no doubt about that, but the Lord says that it was vain, and that word vain simply means that it's to no avail, and they caused their worship to be to no avail as a result of teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 23, the Apostle Paul, when he was at Athens, and he beheld their idolatry, and the whole city was given to idolatry, and he says in that passage that they ignorantly worshiped God. And so he declared the one God of heaven to them. Then in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, Jesus talks about that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so in that passage, the Lord talks about worship that is done in truth, and that's acceptable worship. And we want to make sure that the worship that we render to God is according to spirit and in truth. The word spirit just simply means with the right attitude. In other words, we're focused on the task at hand, that we're worshiping God with the right attitude and the right frame of mind. Then to worship Him in truth means that we do it according as His Word legislates that we worship Him. Like in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17, when Paul said that whatever we do in word or in deed, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father and God by Him. In other words, we do it according as the way that He has told us to worship Him. But Ray, what's our condition if we leave the teachings of the Bible and we try to worship God in a way that He has not directed us to worship Him?
If you look at if you look in Romans chapter 10, we see that Paul is talking about the nation of Israel. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." In other words, the Jews at this point that he's talking about are not saved. And he says, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." The Jews were zealous for God, but they did not know how to worship Him appropriately. They did not accept His Son Christ. And as a result of this, they are not saved. It says, "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So they worship God, but they didn't know how to worship Him appropriately. They didn't accept Christ as being sent from God. And consequently, they, even though they had a zeal for God, it was wasted. It was in vain.
Now that's right. And as Ray pointed out, there was a group of individuals that were zealous, Ray. I mean, they were, as it's saying, as they were on fire for God, their intent perhaps was right. They wanted to do what, I guess, serve God to the to their knowledge, but their knowledge wasn't what it needed to be. I mean, what they were doing was not in harmony with what God desired for them. And that teaches us, listeners, that we can be on fire for God, as we often hear. We can have a desire or a burning desire to do what God would have us to do, perhaps, and be full of zeal, be very zealous, but yet be lost. We can be very religious and be religiously in error. And that was a condition of those of Romans chapter 10. So we've got to be careful that even though it's good to be full of zeal and to have a strong desire to serve God, we have to do it on His terms and not on the terms of men. Last week we also talked about for a little while knowing the difference between sound doctrine and false doctrine. But Ray, there's so much more that could be said about that. About that area, about what's right versus what's wrong. What else does the Bible say about that?
So, we talk about sound doctrine versus unsound doctrine. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns Timothy here. He says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own consciences with the branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." God tells us that, or Paul tells us through the Spirit, that there's going to come a time when people fall away from the faith. They fall away from sound doctrine, and they're going to listen to unsound doctrine, which comes from demons. If we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, again, it's the same. He makes the same concern known to Timothy here. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." He tells Timothy here that people are going to bring in people to teach that tell them what they want to hear rather than what God wants us to know. And so there's definitely a definite difference between sound doctrine and unsound doctrine. I mean, one comes from God, one comes from man. If you look at Galatians chapter 1, this is a very serious issue because look at what Paul has to say about this. He says, "I'm amazed that you are quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. It's extremely serious. What Paul is saying here is a person that preaches a gospel different from the one that they've preached is in danger of losing their soul, of being judged unworthy to be in heaven and being in hell. So it doesn't get any more serious than this. And we know from the scriptures, from Galatians that we just read, that there is only one gospel. If you look in Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, he says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." The importance here is this as well. There's a lot of people who preach in the name of Christ, but distort his teachings. It's important that we not only preach in the name of Christ, but when we preach in the name of Christ, we're preaching his gospel that we've been given in the New Testament. And we can't change any of it, and just because we put Christ's name on it, that this makes this all right. When we say that there's no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved, it's the revealed word about Christ that we have to cling to.
That's right, and a lot of times, right, I think individuals are quick, perhaps at times, to say, "Well, you folks in the Church of Christ, you judge everybody, and you don't have a right to judge anyone." And here's what I would point out about that is that's right from the standpoint of we can't judge the inside someone's heart. I don't know the intent that someone is doing what they're doing, that's known to God. So we don't know the motives that, you know, Jesus had the ability to do that. He knew what was on the inside of a person. So we don't judge the motives or the intents of someone, or whether they have good intentions or not, anything like that. But we can judge the doctrine that someone is teaching. In fact, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, they were commended, the Bereans were, because they were more noble than the Thessalonians, because they had received the word without readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things that they heard was right. And so we need to discern between good doctrine and false doctrine. And we certainly have the ability to do that when we open up the Bible, and just like you ought to do today with what Ray is teaching, what I'm teaching. We don't want you to take our word for it, but open up the Bible and discern based upon what the Bible says whether what we're saying is in harmony with the will of God. And so people today, Ray, it's important that we are taught the difference between sound doctrine and false doctrine, because we certainly live in a time when the thinking of so many is that there is no error, there's no false doctrine, it's kind of each man to himself. Another point that we want to be able to cover on today's program is the importance of people being taught the difference between what is clean versus what is unclean. Ray, what does the Bible say about that?
Well, if you turn to Matthew chapter 23, the point that we hope to get across here is what Christ was preaching to the Pharisees. In verse 25, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." What God is telling us, or what Christ is telling us here, is that having the appearance of cleanness doesn't make you clean. That you can clean the outside of the cup, but if you don't clean the inside, it's still dirty. And he's making this application to us, that we can look religious, we can show up for services every Sunday, every Wednesday, we can do all these things, but if the blood of Christ has not cleansed us from our sins, we are still unclean in the sight of God. In other words, a self-righteousness is not righteousness at all in God's eyes. A self-righteousness like the Pharisees had does not make us clean. The question is, what is it that constitutes cleanness in the eyes of God? That's the important point that we all need to understand. And if you look in John chapter 15, one of the things that Christ tells his disciples here, he says, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." The only way that we can be clean in God's eyes is by not only hearing the word spoken, but believing in it, trusting in it, obeying it. That's how we abide in His Word, is by being in obedience to His Word. And when we do those things, then we can be clean in the eyes of God. And again, this is not a righteousness or cleanness that comes from within ourselves. It is one that comes from God Himself. If you look in Acts chapter 10, verse 15... He says, "Again, a voice came to him a second time." He's talking to Peter. "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken back up into the sky. Again, the idea again was that although the Gentiles looked unclean to the Jews at that time, this is in preparation for Cornelius accepting the gospel, the first Gentile who became a Christian. What God is telling Peter is, don't judge Cornelius by the way that he looks to you. God is the one that's making the judgment. He sent Peter to him because he knew that Cornelius would accept the gospel when it was preached to him, and that's indeed what happened. So, but if this had been left up to Peter, the Gentiles would have never been preached to. But God directed Peter, said, "You need to go preach the gospel to these Gentiles." And in the same way, we cannot cleanse ourselves. But God says, "What I have cleansed, you consider holy." You look in chapter 15 of Acts, verse 9, and he says again, "And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith." So the avenue in which we can be cleansed is through the blood of Christ, but we must trust in the blood of Christ that it is able to cleanse us. And what that simply means is that when we hear the gospel, we believe that Jesus Christ was sent here by God the Father. We believe that He died on the cross for the sins of the world, and we trust that His blood is able to cover our sins. And when we believe those things, then we're willing to turn our back on the sinful life that we led before. We're willing to be baptized. And when we do those things, we can be saved. We can be made clean in the sight of God, which is what really matters. It doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. It matters what God thinks about us. And just a couple other verses to maybe solidify these points. If you look in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 21, he says, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God," he's talking about Christ, "let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." He's telling us here that we've had our hearts sprinkled clean by the blood that Christ shed for us.
Very, very good points, Ray. Listener, another good reference that when you can check out in the convenience of your home when you have time would be 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 beginning, how that they were justified or washed or sanctified after their obedience to the gospel. And as well as 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25, when Peter tells those Christians that they had purified their hearts when they had obeyed the truth. So we encourage you to continue to investigate those things. Well, Lord willing, next week we'll continue this series and look at a few more things that we need to be taught the difference between. We appreciate, listener, you being with us on the program. And again, if you have questions concerning the things that you've heard on the program, don't hesitate to give us a call, 234-5055. Ray, it's been good having you on the program.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being here.
Listeners, you be sure to be with us on next week's program. Until then, we appreciate you listening to the program.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.